Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, Charlotte Chips of the PC. It's Saturday, the 29th of October, Anno Domini 2011, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Let me start with a big thank you. As you know, we are in a fun drive. A pledge drive, and I want to thank all those of you called in last week. You did yeoman's work, and it was very, very, very much appreciated. Thank you all so much. We're about what $5,000 away from our goal now, so this is your chance to give us a hand, give us a call, and pledge your support. Dig deep into your hearts and shallowly into your wallets, and. And we would be honored if you would become a member of the Jazz 90.1 family and the Soundbites family. It's real easy to do. Just call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Like I said, we're probably about, it says about 6,500 on the website, but we had a good morning, so we're probably 5,500 away.
Yeah, but we
please give us a call. We can beat the polka guys.
We beat them last week.
We beat them thanks to all of you, and
yes.
Sam, thank you so much for that. They raised what $450.
So
if we can beat that this week, it'll be 2 weeks in a row, and it will.
Oh, that felt so good today.
You should have seen the looks on their faces. It was pretty funny stuff.
But I also have to thank Ray and Al again. Feeling guilty, they did play a song for me.
Yep.
You know,
the motorcycle polka.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Matter of fact, they were already digging out another one, but I said, I'm sorry, we're still carrying you guys, and we're going to try to whip your butts again this week.
We need to whip their butts. So give us a call and become a member. We're very close to the end of this. We'd like to finish it off today.
That would be
anybody
sweet.
Who would like to call in a $5,000 pledge, a real one, we would be glad. We'd be glad to take that and finish this off. In the meantime, here's the news of the day. Regulators agreed on Thursday to change an $8 billion national communications subsidy program to put more emphasis on providing high-speed internet access to rural areas. The Federal Communications Commission voted unanimously to shift roughly $4.5 billion spent annually to subsidize rural telephone service over to providing broadband in rural and costly-to-serve areas. Broadband build-out to unserved areas could begin in early 2012 under the plan, helping bring high-speed internet to the 18 million Americans who have no access to broadband where they live and work. 18 million Americans. We are taking a system designed for the Alexander Graham Bell era of rotary telephones and modernizing it for the era of Steve Jobs and the internet future he imagined, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski said at the agency's open meeting. The revised universal service program would phase out funding for landline phone service over a period of years as companies move to a competitive bidding process for securing funds for broadband. Companies now receiving phone service subsidies paid for through fees added to consumers' telephone bills will get first rights in some areas to receive support for deploying broadband service. The new rules would also eliminate spending on duplicate services offered by several phone companies serving the same area. As part of the changes, regulators are tweaking the complex system of payments among carriers to complete connections called inter-carrier compensation, gradually reducing per-minute inter-carrier compensation charges. Incumbent phone carriers will be able to mitigate losses from reduced inter-carrier revenues through a new access recovery charge on landline service. The FCC put a 50-cent limit on the annual increase in the monthly charge, which could reach up to $2.50 per month after 5 years. So our question to you, which is more important? Rural telephones or rural broadband? You can vote at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. The choices are this: rural telephones, rural broadband, and I asked Siri, she didn't know. So far we've got
Why not, didn't she?
I know it.
I thought she knew all.
She probably would know, actually.
Yeah, she probably would. She'd say broadband.
Okay.
Rural telephones and rural broadband are actually tied right now at 42% each. The remaining 16% goes to Siri. Now, I know you will have more to say about this, so when you're done voting, you can check the yellow box underneath the poll and click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to another terrific website where you can enter your opinion. We've got about half a dozen people in there so far. So you can join us there and then come on back and listen to the show and check out what we're doing. And, of course, that's also our question to you, which is more important, rural telephones or rural broadband? That's our that's it. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Coincidentally, those are also the numbers you can call to pledge.
That would be great.
Get us off of this pledge. All we need for you to do is give us a call, pledge some money. Hopefully by next Saturday we will be back to just providing you with computer advice, but right now we're sharing that with a need to do this. The FCC is giving subsidies to phone companies. They've been doing that for a very long time, like they need it. They're going to be subsidizing broadband, but they don't subsidize us. Mm-mm. And we don't get federal money, state money, local money, city money, county money,
or
no
even
money.
Any of the school money. A lot of folks say, well, you're part of the Greece school district. No.
They're very kind.
They give us the space. And they say, here's some space. Now the rest is up to you. We got to heat this place. We have to have all this equipment. If you folks are on the webcam, you'll see, you know, very easily the board here in front of me.
Yeah, and that's Dave says they give us the space. What he means is they give us the space.
Yeah, that's
filling it was ours to do and paying for it.
All this equipment,
heating it, and everything else. It's ours to do.
Yeah.
So we need your help. Give us a call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Now, we do have membership levels starting at $35, going up to $1,000. And if you'd like to pledge at one of those levels, there's a bunch of cool, very cool gifts that you can get at those levels. But if you don't want to pledge at one of those levels, you can pledge any amount at all, whatever you can afford. I know, but you know what? This system, this station isn't looking to make money. We just want to stay on the air. That's all we want to do. We want to keep this station on the air, and we want to keep this show on the air. And the way we do that is when you give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time. Maybe you're out and about shopping. We have a lot of people who say, you know, while my significant other is shopping, I'm sitting in the car listening to the show. Now's the chance. Yep. Grab that cell phone. We know you've got a cell phone. You're a geek. You've got a cell phone. And make that call. It only takes a couple of minutes. All we want to do is keep this station and this show on the air. And we need your help to do that. It is... When we say member-supported, we ain't just whistling Dixie, folks.
That's it. I mean, that's the only reason we're here year to year is through other people's generosity, you know? And, I mean, and we, like we've said countless times, you know, there is no wrong amount. I mean, we've had folks go, well, you know, I can only afford $10. You know what? That's $10 closer to our goal.
That's exactly right.
And we'll take any amount, a couple bucks.
Right. Being a member of the Jazz 90.1 family and the Soundbites family isn't dependent on a dollar amount. It's just a willingness to help share the burden, and that's all we're asking you to do. I don't want to get maudlin, but it's been great to see you people step up to the plate and help us stay on the air. We believe in this show. We have always believed in this show. And we're very grateful to all those of you out there who also believe in this show. And for those of you who listen but haven't pledged yet, help us. Please help us. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org and help us to keep this show and this station on the air. We really are not going to be bailed out by anybody. You hear on on other types of radio commercials all the time. Mm-hmm. Or you know, we need this pledge drive will be $500,000 or $200,000. We only need a total of $50,000 because we're not paying people. We're keeping the doors open. We're putting ourselves on the air.
Lights on the air.
For our FCC license. We're you know, we're keeping the transmitters up and running. Though that's what that costs, and the money doesn't come from anywhere else. We don't get sponsors. We need you. We need you to be our sponsor. That's who our sponsor is. There are only a handful of independent jazz stations left in the world.
And count them on one hand.
Yeah, there's six, actually. So you could count it on what used to be my hand, but now I only have five.
Well, I say one hand. I mean us and then five others.
And five others. Exactly right. So we really need you to help us stay on the air. It's a noble experiment, and it's succeeded so far, but we need you to help it continue to succeed. It's not we're not looking for a lot more money. You know, it's about $5,000, $5,500. We'll call it $5,000.
The other amazing thing is, you know, getting more and more involved in jazz as I have. It's kind of scary, but learning a lot of, you know, some great artists, you know, and the past 2 years, I've literally been to the Jazz Fest every day. And I'm there, and, you know, folks are telling me, oh, you know, I love your station and that. You know, keep up the great work and everything else. Well, you know what? 130,000 folks showed up to the Jazz Fest last year, this past year. You know what? If every one of them had just even put in 50 cents. 50 cents. Going by 50 cents, we wouldn't be having this fund drive right now.
That's right.
50 cents out of 130,000.
If it put in a dollar, we wouldn't have to have any fund drives.
Yeah, we'd be set for this year and next. Yep. You know, this fall and spring.
Yep. Yep.
And then we'd be good to go to the next Jazz Fest and have folks, again, drop in a buck.
And we'd be done for the year.
Yeah. We could do it right then.
It doesn't cost a lot of money to keep the station on the air because it's all volunteer.
Yeah.
None of us, oddly enough, get paid.
Neither one of us. Three of us have.
Yep.
In 22 years.
Yep. And so we really want to keep this show on the air. We want to keep this station on the air, and you're the ones who do that.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call.
Please.
In the meantime, I'll talk a little bit about the FCC.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to that question, if they build broadband, then you can easily run voice over IP and have phone service.
Well,
in fact,
they don't have. It's not an either or situation.
Yeah, wasn't it Verizon and AT&T of both petitioned the FCC to stop printing phone books, and they want to get out of the landline business and go to voice over IP completely.
Yeah, they've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah,
it's an interesting dichotomy. The problem, of course, is that voice over IP, although it's really fairly light in terms of its impact on the network, for any one call, there's millions and billions and there's billions and billions of calls placed every day. So you still need to build out a network to do it. The good news is that as long as you're going to build out that network, and if it's voice over IP to begin with, you can add regular internet data to it. It's just there.
Yep.
So building that one thing builds both things. They're not saying, oh, you can't have, we're going to dump rural phone service, because it's not an either or situation.
Although a lot of rural phone companies are saying that.
Well, of course they are, because they will either have to change with the times or go out of business and let somebody else take their place. But the reality is that doing it right actually gives better service to those people, because they now have both the same voice technology that they've had, only the same voice capability in a different technology, and internet service. So it brings the internet to more people. One of the things that we often hear is the education gap in this country has really become an internet gap. You know, the people who get a good education versus those who don't is now correlating very closely to the people who have good internet connectivity and those who don't, because a lot of the stuff that people need and want to know is on the internet. And in addition, the internet is much more of a free information freedom of information place than television or radio. And so you get more opposing views. You get more a wider exposure to the different things that are going on out in the world. And that's only good for democracy, frankly.
Yep.
The reality is that democracy thrives where people can think for themselves and not be told what to think and do. And the internet provides a method for that. They're finding that out in China and in Libya and in Tripoli in particular, and in all over the Middle East. The Arab Spring began completely over the internet. The Chinese version of Twitter, no matter how much the government of China tries to control
suppress it, they can't.
is still going strong. And that all and the democracies that are kind of breaking out all over the world begin and run themselves over the internet. It's how they get together.
Well, that's where China's learning, like our, maybe some of our government is. They sit there and say, well, we're going to put regulations on there and this and that. Hello, it's called the World Wide Web.
Yep. But the way that happens is people need access to that internet. And the only way we're going to get that is by making it less expensive for everybody. And so for me, the idea of doing this is really terrific. But give us a call about it and give us a call to pledge your support. The numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Let's keep it that way. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Lively discussion on the IRC chat about rural broadband and the benefits of DSL and cable. And
if the government pays to put it in, shouldn't the citizenry get it for free?
That's a lovely, lovely thought. They're not paying to put it in. They're subsidizing the people who put it in, so we get it cheaper.
Yeah, right.
The theory.
What is that, for the first year? And then, well, due to rising costs.
This is my theory.
Wasn't that the throughway?
Which is mine.
Hmm? Wasn't that the thing with when they built the throughway 50 years ago?
1999 was supposed to be the end of any tolls in it. And then they come back and say, well, to maintain the current status, service that we provide for you, we still need to continue charging you.
Right, so we have paid for it. Now we're just maintaining it.
We're just getting
it costs as much to maintain it as it did to pay for it.
No, we're just getting hosed more so they can spend that money elsewhere.
I've been in parts of the thruway that probably either I shouldn't be paying for or they really should be fixing with the money I've already given them.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, clearly.
Back when I was flying model planes, one of my instructors who had a full-scale aircraft, it was always big. They're not really model planes. They are real aircraft. They're just not full-scale.
Right. So, they're not big enough for people.
Not big enough for people. So he had a full-scale, like, Piper Cub or something, and he said he ran into engine trouble and had to land on the thruway. It was a nice, long, straight, not too many bridges. They fined him for entering the thruway not at a toll booth. he had to pay the maximum toll, $15, whatever it is for the maximum toll. They wouldn't let him fix the plane and take off again. He had to dismantle the plane, take a flatbed truck into the thruway, to take the plane off
of
the thruway.
Which also costs money.
Right. And trying to fit through the toll booth with an airplane, he had to take it a long way apart.
I bet he did. All right. You know we're in the middle of a fun drive, and now I'd like to speak to those of you who are listening in Austria and Canada and Finland and the United Kingdom and Norway and Sweden and all the other places that download the podcast. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you who do that. And we're very grateful and we're thrilled that you do. But now we need you to go online while you're listening to jazz901.org and make a pledge. And in the comment box, please put that it is for sound bites. Like we said, this there's no this is not a government run thing.
Facility.
So the money that you send us from Austria or Finland or Norway or Canada or anyplace else doesn't in any way help the government. It helps us. We don't get government money. We're a worldwide organization, thanks to the management here who have put us on the web, who have allowed us to put out the podcast. None of that stuff is free. We do it as a public service, but if you would like to fund that, it's easy enough to do. You can make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or particularly for those of you now listening to the podcast later in the week, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you're doing that, I will read another news item. Facebook downplayed an alleged vulnerability in its social networking site, there's a surprise, that could allow a hacker to send a potentially malicious file to anyone on Facebook. The issue concerns a Facebook feature that allows a user to send another user who is not their friend a message as well as an attachment. Facebook prohibits sending executable files, but a security penetration tester found a way to circumvent the filter. Nathan Power, who works for a technology consultant, CDW, wrote in his blog that Facebook parses part of a post request to the server to see if the file being sent should be allowed. If an executable is attached, Facebook warns that it can't be sent. But by modifying the post request, specifically with an extra space after the file name that is to be sent, an executable could be attached. This poses a danger because it allows a hacker to send, for instance, a key logging program to another user in a kind of spear phishing attack. The victim would then need to be convinced to open and run the file. Yes, that's true. In a statement, Facebook security manager Ryan McGeehan wrote that a successful attack would require an additional layer of social engineering. It also only allows the attacker to send an obfuscated, renamed file to another Facebook user one at a time. So, you know, clearly that's okay then. It's not because we've got not very bright programmers. It's because, you know, we're only infecting people one email message, one message at a time. Maybe that should be the new slogan. Infecting people one message at a time. Facebook.
Yep. Yeah.
Facebook doesn't rely solely on the identification of a file by what it purports to be a name to protect users, but also does a security scan of files so we have defense in depth for this sort of vector, McGeehan wrote. So far, that hasn't been efficacious. He also said that webmail providers face the same problem with malicious attachments. And this finding is a very small part of how we protect against this threat overall. This is my favorite part about this thing. Well, other people do it.
Yeah.
Other people are as dumb as we are, so it's okay that we're dumb. At the end of the day, it is more practical for a bad guy to hide an XE on a convincing landing page behind a URL shortener, which is something we've been dealing with for a while, McGeehan wrote. Power wrote, Facebook was notified of the issue on September 30th, and the company acknowledged the issue this past Wednesday. Are you losing more faith in Facebook, or don't you care? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Well, one of the things that I've been trying to explain to folks, especially with the emails and all that type of stuff, I've been having a number of folks call in and say, you know, the shop and that. Well, you know, I'm getting a lot of more those junk emails and that, and I don't go to those sites. Well, here's the thing, folks. Yeah, viruses aren't as popular as they used to be. It's now Trojan, spyware, and spam.
You have to steal your money these days.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. They've gotten smarter in that aspect. So what they've done is there's a number of them out there that will create a little script. And all the script does is go out there and look for any machines that are open and steal your email address book. And you think, well, what good is that? Well, if you take that little script that they write, and they just sit back in their chair, lean back, and just scratch their head and wait. All of a sudden, now millions of email lists are coming in.
And all of those times when you see a message forwarded with hundreds of people's email addresses still in the message, because the person who said forward didn't take the second to pull them out.
Yeah, they grab those, and then they can turn around to spammers. And say, hey, tell you what, I'll sell you 250,000 emails, good email addresses, for $20. And they do. That's now they're making money. They created a little script that they just sat back, pulled in all these emails from your address books, and then start selling it to spammers. And that's why you'll get, well, I never got it before. I get the Viagra or this health insurance and or this bank and that bank, and I don't belong to them. And, you know, I've got my machine secure. You could be. Yes, you could very well have your machine very secure. But, you know, your friends, maybe they're not as due diligent as you, and you're on their list. And they got attacked. So now your name is there, and there you go.
A lot of times also you can guess email addresses and just A at Roadrunner, B at Roadrunner, C at Roadrunner, and you can send millions of messages with a computer very, very easy.
I get that all the time because I've got AskNick.com, and people are sending things. I get messages from support at AskNick.com. Really? That would be, well, me. So I'm not entirely certain why you think I've sent myself a message, but I know I didn't. And so many of those aren't directed at you specifically. They just happen to grab you. If you send it to every possible combination of letters and numbers, eventually you're going to get a real person.
Even using common names, you know, Steve. You know, Steve at every domain they can find, and Bill and John and Nick.
Right.
In fact, they're using that for subjects now, too. You can get a message, you know, Uncle John is in the hospital and needs your money. Most people probably have an Uncle John.
Chances are, the odds are you've got an Uncle John.
Did you get a name?
No, I'm sorry.
All right, we have somebody on the line. Who is this?
This is Rick. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Rick, where are you calling from?
I am calling from the Flower City.
The Flower City itself.
Ooh. The west side is the best side.
That's where I grew up. What can we do for you, Rick?
All right. First of all, can you possibly keep me on hold after the question? Because my computer is acting up. I sometimes get a little prompt on my screen. It says JavaScript application says NPO as no object or something like that. EXC.
Uh huh. What that is? There is a JavaScript from somewhere. Now, does this happen on web pages?
Hello?
Rick?
Looks like his phone is acting screwy, too.
Apparently, he's got more problems than that.
That might be him calling back again, yeah.
Yeah, call back if you've got a problem there, Rick, because we seem to have lost you. A Java or JavaScript problem like that, generally... Oh, here he is. Is he back? Mm-hmm. Is that you, Rick?
Yeah, sorry about that. Something funky must have happened. Did I explain it correctly or no? I get a little prompt box in the middle of my screen when I'm using my Mozilla browser.
Yeah, there you go. That's not coming from your machine. That's coming from someplace on the internet. Wherever you're going to has bad Java or JavaScript code on their website.
Okay.
Or the version
that
of...
So that's a good thing that it comes like that. It just, you know, press OK and it'll X off of there.
Yeah, just
like,
there's nothing you can. There's simply nothing you can do about it,
gentlemen.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, the other end made
a
mistake.
It's the other end. It could be coming from an ad. It could be coming from the website. Could be coming or from a banner ad. You don't know where it's coming from, but it's not on your machine. It's a problem with the Java or JavaScript at the other end.
It could be that the Java installed in your machine is too old and doesn't understand the programming code that script
right.
is trying
if,
to run.
If your Java or JavaScript is not up to date, you know there have been updates to the Java.
Yeah, how could you update that in your program?
You'll get a message that pops up on your screen that says Java needs to update.
You can also go to java.com and check to see if Java's working and download the latest versions. I'm posting a link so you can check what version you're running on your computer.
So just java.com?
Yep.
And one other question, and I appreciate your time, gentlemen, is what do you think of Microsoft Security Essentials as just a free downloadable program I've installed on my computer? It hasn't failed me yet, and I've had it since the summer.
It's not bad. It really isn't. It's not the best.
Right.
But it's not bad at all. You know, as one of the free ones, I prefer either Avast or AVG, but it's certainly not a bad thing at all, and it does come with your machine. It's better than no security.
Exactly.
That's malware bytes, anti-malware, too.
Yep. Malware bytes, super anti-spyware, and AVG or Avast.
We often recommend a couple of different ones, especially for the anti-malware, the super anti-spyware and malware bytes.
One does not do all.
Okay. I appreciate that. You guys keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I hope you remember, and if not, you can join us securely online at jazz901.org. And While Rick is doing that, of course, you can do it too because it's the web and it'll take more than one at a time. Or, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. We're more than happy to answer your questions. But we'd also be very, very appreciative if you would join and become a member of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families.
Yeah, we're just so close, you know. And you know what? I actually thought when I got up this morning, because I hadn't checked the website since my show on Thursday. Shameless plug. And I thought, oh, it should be done. It's like, oh. Yeah.
Nope. That's okay. We're getting closer, and that's due entirely to the generosity of our listeners.
I mean, and over $45,000 already, you know, of generosity has been out there.
Yeah.
And we're so close, and we'd love to just say, you know what? Let's kick this, get it done. And
there's always such a good feeling when you finish something. And this is our chance to finish this.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps this station on the air. That's all we're asking to do. And we need your help to do that. And it's really, really, really easy to do. It takes less than 2 minutes of your time. If you join it at any of the levels, if you join at all, you get the Jazz 90.1 member card, which is good for discounts at many area vendors, including some you might be familiar with. If you join at any one of our regular levels, 35, 50, 100, 150, 365, 500, or 1,000, there are additional gifts that you can take. Or, of course, you can take the whole thing instead just as a full write-off.
Yep, tax write-off.
Tax write-off. If you've got a couple of minutes, call your accountant and see how much of a tax write-off you need this year.
Yes.
And then give us a call. We'll be happy to help you with that.
And there's also, you got to check on our webpage, jazz901.org. You can check, and you know where you work, they might match your funds. And we've got a list up there of matching companies that, you know, if you make a pledge, you can go to them and say, hey, you know, I did this, and they'll match it for you. So, you know, you can actually have your pledge count double. But, you know, it takes you to pick up the phone and give us a call.
And it only takes a couple of minutes. The number is 45.
Try that again.
I did it again. 585.
It's 2 weeks in a row.
585. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We would be both honored and delighted to help you to become the latest member of Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites. Very easy to do, very quick, very simple. And you can do it. I know you can. I have faith in you. I believe in you. You folks stepped up last week, and we were delighted and thrilled that you did. And we'd like you to do the same again this week. One more time. For now, the number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, before I get to the news, don't forget, you too can become a member of Jazz 90.1 by calling 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We can still beat the polka guys this week, but we need your help to do that. We have taken no pledges so far. I'm very depressed about that, frankly. But we're moving on. HP has said that they are going to sell their PC business, but at the end of the day, they decided to keep it. Spinning off its PC unit would have been too costly for Hewlett-Packard, and that was just one of the reasons why the company backed off from the plan and announced in August, an HP executive said on Friday. The cost of spinning off the unit would have amounted to $1.5 billion in one-time costs and additional payments at later dates, said Tony Proffitt, senior vice president of operations at HP's Personal Systems Group, or the PSG, unit, which deals in PCs, smartphones, and tablets. Hey, HP. Send us just a few bucks.
Yeah.
As the analysis unfolded, it became clear the costs were much more significant than any potential benefit, Proffitt said. Keeping the PSG with an HP is right for customers and partners, right for shareholders, and right for employees, Meg Whitwit said. said Meg Whitman, HP's president and CEO. The company has close to had close to 100 people, executive customers and legal advisors, working to evaluate whether to retain or spin off the PC division. Other factors in the decision to retain the unit were customers' wishes and the component purchasing power provided by the PC unit. A lot of diligence, due diligence went into deciding to retain the PC unit, and there's no turning back, Prophet said. You can be certain there was a deep and thorough analysis behind this. Prophet did not comment on the eventual fate of the touchpad, but a company spokesrobot said support for the device will continue. It's too early to comment on smartphones, Prophet said. So our question to you, should HP have sold their PC division? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-529 toll free. 1-800-790-0415.
Do you have the Playbook story in there?
I don't think I do.
You know your tablet's doing well when you have to resort to a buy two, get one free sale?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't see that. Right. Their plan there, of course, right now, HP does have a deal. You buy two Playbooks. That's RIM. RIM is the Playbook.
Yeah.
RIM has a deal, buy two and get one free. The people who own them love them, and I can't deny that.
Especially since they finally added an email program.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't work very well unless you already owned a BlackBerry.
Right. But now you buy two Playbooks, you get one free. I know people who are pulling in to do that, and it is. I have to agree with Steve. It's a sign of desperation. In a desperate attempt to build up their numbers.
A lot of people said that about the HP Touch Pad when they went on sale for $99 and sold out instantly.
Yeah.
Well, the pad wasn't a failure. The price was.
The price
at was $599. Nobody wanted it.
Right. But at $99, I was very tempted to get one myself, particularly now that you can put Android Honeycomb on it. There are people who are who have that ability.
Well, that's the thing.
Just because HP's losing $300 on each tablet. Yeah.
I'm really thinking by because. Next week starts November.
Yes, it does.
And, next week also we fall back. Next Sunday we fall back.
Right, and we got a daylight savings time for the year.
Yep.
Possibly the second most useless thing the government has ever done.
No lie. Right up there with the rotating bridge at Rendicoid Bay. But we won't go there. The other thing, though, is...
They both had their purposes in their day.
Yeah. Exactly.
But the thing of it is, though, is... Black Friday lists will start getting updated starting next week. It's usually right after Halloween, the folks can go to the Black Friday list and see what offers and deals. They're already creeping out a few, not many. I think some of them are holding off. I don't know why, because it still porks me off, as somebody that I know very well would say, that I go into a store, say, you know, a local hardware store or something like that, one of the big chains, and you go in there, and here, Halloween isn't even come yet, and they already got the frappin' Christmas decorations out.
Skipped Thanksgiving completely.
Yeah, it's like, hello, I'm sorry, maybe I'm an old fart.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? I used to like the days, and I remember this as a kid, growing up, that Christmas really didn't start until Santa at the Macy Day Parade came down. You saw him. That was the official start of Christmas. Not this 2 months before and all this other bull. I mean, it's people, you know, it's really disheartening. I mean, I guess, you know.
Look, the reality is.
The thing of it is, though, is I think I'm turning back into my parents.
Yeah, there's a...
You know, and that's really scary when I sit there and say, you know what? I like the old days. And I remember the days when I could go downtown and all the stores and the displays and Santa up in Sibley's, and you could go downtown and see all the decorations. It just put you in such a mood. You go to all these malls now. Oh, what? They got a few decorations up in the center, and most folks are just too busy to even stop and notice them.
Look, the problem is this.
I'm old.
Halloween is a holiday for kids. Thanksgiving is a holiday for families.
I enjoy it, too, because the kids.
Thanksgiving is a holiday for families.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas has turned into a holiday for retailers.
Yeah.
And they want to start it as soon as they can.
True.
I get it. I don't have, you know, but I agree with you. For me, it was when Santa appeared at Midtown Plaza.
Yes. That was, you know, I mean,
in my day, I was one of Santa's helpers.
Riding the monorail.
It was such a simple
thing. Where did the monorail went somewhere, didn't it?
It must have gone somewhere.
Well, yeah, let me
I'll tell you what, it was nothing. There was nothing quite as fun, as really spiritually uplifting as Midtown Plaza at Christmas time. It really was so flippin' cool. We loved it. It was a great event. But it didn't happen until Thanksgiving, until the Friday after Thanksgiving. That's when Santa came to the mall. That's when it all happened, and that's when it all started. And you're right. Maybe we're just a bunch of old farts. But the reality is that I like to take my holidays one at a time. Thank you very much. And I'm still focusing on all those great little faces that I'm going to see on Halloween. And let me start out by sincerely thanking Daniel from Rochester, who has very generously made a pledge and become the latest member of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families. We want to thank you, Daniel, for stepping up to the plate and doing your part to keep this station and this show alive. You can join Daniel. It's really easy to do. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Or, as Daniel did, you can pledge securely online and never have to actually interact with another human being by going to jazz901.org. When you do, if you pledge outside the time of this show, please put into the comment that it is for sound bites. But we're honored, Daniel. Thank you so much for your very generous donation. It's people like you who make doing this show worthwhile. I got to be very honest in that. We love doing this show. I personally love doing this. I can't speak for these guys. I love doing this show, but I love it when you give back. And the way you give back, you know, we have people stopping us all the time. I can't go shopping anymore. I can't do anything anymore. Yeah. People are always asking computer questions, and I don't mind that.
Nope.
But what really warms my old heart is when people give back, and they do that by calling 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And that's, you know, taking it back, not getting paid in it. You know, I mean, the three of us. I mean, Steve's got a little son. You've got a wife and family, you know, and the business net at the market, you know, and I mean, and me, I got things to do, but you know what? Every Saturday, not at the beginning, not at the end, but dead in the middle.
Smack dab in the center of the
day. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get stuff ready, and, you know, I'm thinking about leaving. I'm leaving the house by 11 o'clock so I can get here, get things set up. Get things ready, and I got other stuff to do. And we don't get out of here until after 2. So there's right in the middle of the day that, you know, we're taking time out of our lives to be here and answer your questions. Yep. All we're asking you, like you said before, Nick, is to what?
Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It isn't a difficult thing. It doesn't take a lot of your time. You know, take a look at around you at all the computer stuff that you've got in your house. You manage to afford that. Mm-hmm. You manage to keep it running every week. You manage to pay the bill to keep your internet service going and your phone service going.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have a friend who has always said, when somebody says to her, "I'm sorry, I just didn't have the time," her answer is always, "No, you didn't make the time. Had it been important enough to you, you would have."
You know,
and this is how we tell how important it is for people to have this show. And you're essentially voting with your dollars. I know that Rob doesn't like to hear that, but it's true. We all know it's true. Mm-hmm. The reality is that keeping this show on the air, keeping this station on the air, is not cheap. And we only come to you a couple of times a year and ask you to give us a hand and to be part of the family and to do your part. We're not asking any one person to pay the whole shot, although if somebody wants to do that, we'd be more than honored and delighted to take your money. But If everybody does a little, nobody has to do a lot, and it's real easy to do. Just make that call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or just pledge securely online at jazz901.org and never have to interact with another human. It's a real easy thing to do. We have membership levels from $35 to $1,000, but any amount you want to give is fine by us because it makes us understand that you value this show, you value this station, and that it's actually worth something to you as opposed to just something you do because it happens to be there, and if it weren't, you wouldn't miss it. I hope you would miss us if we weren't here.
Yeah, really.
And I would certainly miss doing this show if we couldn't do it every week. But there's no way that we can do it alone. We need you to be a part of. When I say you're a part of the family, that's not just some nonsensical thing that people say. The reality is that you are part of the family, and being part of the family is easy. Just make that call. Pledge online. We would love to have you very simply be part of what it is that we do. Just like Dolores, our friend of the show, Dolores. Bless you, Dolores. You did great. You stepped up, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. It was terrific of you to do so, and we want to thank you. Dolores has joined. The Soundbites joined. She's been a member of the family since I don't know, long before most everybody else.
Yeah. This is one thing I was going to say. Anybody that pledges at the $150 level or more, email me, dave@jazz901.org, and I will send the rum ball recipe. Talking about the holidays, and you know, it's getting close that I was already digging that recipe out because my sister and I were talking about making cookies, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I got to double check to be sure I got the correct rum and have that in by the time, you know, we're going to do it. So I'm thinking, anybody that does $150 or more, I'll send them the rum ball recipe if they would like it.
Absolutely. And we want to thank Dolores. Very, very generous. So far, we've had Daniel and Dolores. It's time to move off the D's to the E's. So we need the Edwards and the Eleanors and the Eliases and the Elaines to give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And do we have time for a call? Yes, we do. It's our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
I've got a question. The new Android operating system, Ice Cream Sandwich came out.
Yep.
I got a question for you. A lot of Android phones, different levels. How come we all don't get it? Like I've got one that's through.
Well, that's an interesting question, and there's two reasons for that. I'm going to answer that question in two ways: one in my normal voice, and one in a high squeaky voice. No, here's the deal. The Ice Cream Sandwich. Well, the Android operating system. Unlike the iPhone, which is controlled solely and completely by Apple, Google just handed out the Android operating system to the phone people and said, look, here it is. Do what you want. We'll keep providing updates. But those updates don't go to the end users. They go to the service providers. And the service providers are the ones who, you know, like Motorola and Samsung and people like that, the phone manufacturers, they're the ones who package it up specifically for their phone and move it on.
Then it goes on to the carrier.
And then it goes on to the carrier, and the carrier is the one who ultimately decides whether or not to send it down the line. Some of them are not supporting the old machines as they should. Some of the companies that made the old machines didn't make them entirely up to spec, and so they no longer will run the new operating system. But it's not a Google decision at all. All the Android operating systems are available to anybody who wants to use them. If you wanted to go and build a phone right now and put Android on it, you could do that. But it is unfortunately not in the plans for some manufacturers to upgrade the phones.
Yeah, I had one more question, but I hear your music.
Yeah, I'm afraid we've got to go, Linda. We got to take a break. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Have fun. We are going to take a slightly longer break, but then we're going to come back. because you've only wasted 1 hour of your life with sound bites, and there's a whole nother hour to go. So if you didn't entirely waste it, think of it as practice. We're about to do it again. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you have plenty of time to call us, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Become of the part of the family of Soundbites and member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Let me thank, before we go any farther, let me thank Dave from Rochester, who took advantage of the break to make a pledge. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Dave, we appreciate it.
We're getting closer.
We're getting much closer, and we're very close to beating the polka guys. You can help us do
so
that.
So sweet.
Please, that would be just phenomenal. That would be just great. Please give us a call. But here's the thing. So far, we've had Daniel, Dolores, and Dave. Doesn't anybody else with any other letter besides D for the first letter of their name want to give us a call?
Hey.
We're ready to take. There's 25 other letters, for Pete's sake. 25 other letters, and
here comes Shorty
calling us.
Linda.
That's very nice. That's very charming.
She can come in and get underneath our camera and still not show on air.
She likes it that way, too, for some reason.
She slides right
up. A woman who will spend 4 hours on a stage of an evening. Oh, there she goes. Now she's hiding.
Yeah, see, she's
hiding from
hiding
the camera.
Under the camera.
She is such a sweetie. Hello.
All right, here we go. Cooperation.
Well, I posted a link for Linda and our other listeners on popular smartphones and how far behind the OS they are. And almost no phone is using the current version of Android.
Right. Right. There are a couple, but that two, maybe three that are using it. But it really depends on the carrier and the manufacturer as to whether the manufacturer built the phone with all of the stuff that's supposed to be in it, and B, whether they and the manufacturer, because Android, Google just gives you the Android operating system. It's essentially, at least it was up until version 4.0, an open source product. And so anybody could use it. Anybody could do anything they wanted with it. And so they give it to the manufacturers and to the carriers, and they're the people who actually package it up for their phones. So if they haven't packaged it up for their phones, you don't blame Google or the folks at the Android sweatshop or whatever they call it. You blame the people who made the phone or who are the carrier. Those are the people who are keeping it back.
Mm-hmm. Throttling it.
Yeah, they're throttling it.
And oftentimes that's because the hardware in the phone won't support the new
exactly
OS.
Right. Or
processor,
or it won't support
RAM.
It fully.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it's not enough RAM because they made the phone inexpensive enough that people want to buy it. I get that.
That's typical with the Apple updates, too. They cut off the older hardware because if you try to put the newest operating system on the older hardware, it will be so slow, people will complain.
That will happen with the iPhone.
Yep.
There is no question of that. It just hasn't happened yet. Interestingly, I still own the original Droid. I can't upgrade till Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th. I'll be able to upgrade. Yeah, I'll be able to upgrade then. I've been looking at the Galaxy Nexus.
Did you hear the false hope email Verizon sent out? They sent out millions of emails to people who weren't due for an upgrade yet, saying, "Congratulations, you can get an upgrade early." And so they all ran down to buy an iPhone out of stock.
Nice.
And the fine print of that upgrade offer was in-stock phones only.
Nice.
Well, can I pre-order a phone? No, it's not in stock, so it doesn't count. And then they canceled the promotion.
Nice. Very, very nice. I understand that because I can't get half of what I want my phone to do anymore. And that's, you know, you want to upgrade to the latest and coolest and newest stuff. Voice action runs great on my... pad, my Asus Transformer, mm-hmm. but it bogs my phone down like nobody's business.
And that's the one thing, talking about phones and that, you know, and carriers and voice over IP. More and more folks are doing away with their home phones. I mean, myself, yeah. It's one of the things, it's like, why have that extra charge? Anybody that I want to talk to can call me on my cell phone. They've got my number. Otherwise, call the business.
I'm trying to get my wife to do that. And she keeps saying, well, you know, I said, when was the last time we got a call from anybody except a telemarketer?
Yep.
Exactly. Well, that's why, God bless my wife, you know, when she was alive, she always had the home phone. Why do we have to have it? Well, just to call you, you know, some folks still have it. I says, we tell them our cell numbers. All the family members not had it.
And usually,
that's one thing I got rid of it. It's like, I don't need it.
Yep. Sometimes you say it's in case of a power failure, your landline still works. Well, your cell phone will still work for a while. Yep. And if there's a power failure, the switches are probably down.
Well, no, you can go out to the car, plug it into the car charger.
I was just listening to a podcast where they were talking about the flooding in some area. And he was saying he's grateful he had his UPS because then he could keep his phone charged. He could keep...
turn off the computer and use UPS to charge your phone.
Charge your phone, yeah.
Absolutely.
Charge your laptop on it if you have to.
Absolutely, and having that cell phone.
And then the third or fourth day of no power, he finally dug out an old iPod so he could listen to some music.
Well, the last time we had a blackout, I sat on my porch and played the banjo. Back in the days when I didn't have the arthritis.
How much money did you earn?
I earned a lot of goodwill from my neighbors. We had a party. You know, we sat there on the porch. People started coming over. We started bringing our food. They said, let us go. I said, look, this stuff's all going to spoil anyway.
Yeah, you got to empty the freezer anyway.
We might as well eat it. I don't want to throw it out. I'd rather have a party. We had a great party. We had a great time. It was dark. We had candles. The whole neighborhood was out. Nobody cared. It was fun. And the next day, we just all called in sick and the hell with everybody.
One night, this past spring, you know, we had a power outage, which is rare in my area because of where I live. And it's like, you know what? I said, oh, the heck with it. Pulled out my grill because I love grilling out. And I said, here we go. And I started cooking up stuff on the grill. Didn't need electricity to do that.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, I
have
BPS.
The extra burner on there for boiling water and everything else and, you know, cook up some potatoes.
I have a UPS that runs my computer. I also have a separate UPS. It only cost me a couple of $100 bucks. And I keep it sitting there specifically to charge stuff like my phone, because I don't need a landline anymore. And the other thing that I am starting to do is give people my Google Voice number, because it takes a minute to change that to anybody. All right, let's go back to the phones. Did I actually read this? No, I didn't. We'll save it for later. Our next caller is Dan. Don. Din. What is that?
It's an O.
Don from, and that was Steve.
Well, I rewrote Hilton because I knew you wouldn't read that.
I know I wouldn't read that.
Thank you.
Don from Hilton.
I don't get blamed for that one.
Nope, it's Don from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Well, I don't have a question. I was just going to make a comment.
Okay.
The last time we had a power outage, my cell phone was fully charged.
Yep.
But it didn't work, and my landline did.
Yeah.
I lost the power to the towers, and when they lose power to the towers, they don't work.
Yep, depends on how widespread the power outage is.
You can lose your towers. As I said, last time we had a power outage, my landline worked. My cell phone did not. My cell phone did not work for a whole day.
Yep, but you can also, yes, and that's absolutely true, but you can also reduce your landline charges by getting the absolute minimum service.
Yes, and that's what I have done.
Right, and then it just sits there. You don't give out that number to anybody for anything. You're still going to get telemarketers on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just simply don't answer. You know, I keep telling my wife we get the lowest conceivable landline phone we can get.
Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd make a comment.
I appreciate that.
It's not fully foolproof.
Right. No, it isn't. And
nothing
that's,
is.
That's the only reason to keep a landline.
Yeah.
It actually is. I hate to say that. I love Frontier. I love what they do. I've been very, very pleased with their DSL service. I've been very pleased with everything else they do. But, you know, the reality is that I'm not sitting at home waiting for a call anymore. Yep. I'm actually not a 15-year-old girl. They don't even do that anymore. They've all got cell phones nowadays. And, it's a different world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just thought I'd make that comment.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate it.
You know what?
Well, no, what? Ah, here we go, kitties. All right, kitties, here's your chance. Get on your footy jammies, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap him awake, and heaven knows he's been sleeping long enough, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here you go. You're going to need some coffee. Here you go, Dave.
Yeah, it's been... Oh, thank you. It's been a long time, dude.
Yep, it has been a long time. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I've been, kind of building some things up, and hopefully over the next few weeks... Thank you, my restoration. One, George, yes, I realize that I have not updated the latest current configuration, but you know what? Hold on. This week, I promise, I have already been working on it. Nick will have the current recommendation that I recommend for a system. I promise. Because I got an email saying, Dave, you promised. Yeah, I know.
And he has it up in time for you to get it for Christmas.
Yeah, and that's what I plan on doing is have the current thing because, all right, here's the other part of my segue. All right, Lucy Lou, you come in and you got all these great ads. And you sit there and say, can you match that? I go, nope. Why not? I said, what kind of warranty do they come with?
We don't sell crap is why not.
I go, what kind of warranty is it? I don't know. Well, wait a minute. You come into my store. You want me to match this. You don't even know what the H you're buying. Hill from, toothpicks.
Yep.
Not even a clue. It's a low-end system. I started pointing out all these things. And I said, you know what? My systems, one, carry a 3-year warranty. And I do this, this, and this. And do they do that? I don't know. See, they folks sit there and see an ad.
All they see is the number.
And all they see is a number. They don't sit and take the time to realize what the heck they're getting for that price. And then when they do get it, and then they come into me, the thing's running awful slow. How come? Well, you know what? That's what you got when you paid for it. Hello?
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that people need to remember, when they buy a car, when somebody goes to buy a car, they know what they're getting. They pay attention,
Yeah.
I want to kick the tires. I want to see the engine. I want to do all this
yes,
stuff.
Yes, thank you.
I know it's a $300 car. And I also know what I'm getting for $300. I need a winner beater. As long as it gets me through, say, May... I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're realistic about what they're paying for a car. They're never realistic about what they're paying for a computer.
And I know everybody, money's tight. Yes, I get that. And you're trying to save money in that. But you know what? Again, you're going to get what you pay for.
You buy that $300 computer and you're going to be sorry.
My favorite is the guy who said to me, I see you use a netbook. I said, yeah, I do. I really like it. What kind is it? It's a Lenovo. Oh, I think I'm going to get one. Well, good. You got to be aware that you got to set your expectations. Mm-hmm. He said, I know. You talk about all that time. All I ever do is email and browse the web and World of Warcraft.
Yep.
No, wait. Whoa.
That third one.
That's right. That third one, you're somewhere along the order of...
You just added a comma.
Yeah, added... You're at least in two orders of magnitude... below the price you need to pay for a computer that does what you want it to do. World of Warcraft requires a higher-end machine. If you were going to play Bejeweled
right.
or Mafia Wars, okay, maybe. Maybe if you're patient, mm-hmm. you could get away with it. But
we had that happen, at the store, too. Someone came in, and they're looking for an old, cheap computer, and we hate selling old computers because it's never what they want. In the end, and the guy's all I want is for email and surfing the web, same thing. And so we sold it to him, and begrudgingly, I think Jackie even put this is a used computer, it's going to be slow on his receipt. So he calls back and says, "Why I can't play any of my Facebook games."
Yeah,
you didn't say you wanted to play Facebook games, or we wouldn't have sold you that computer.
And that's where folks have to be realistic. I'm sorry, don't get all porked off at me because I'm, you wanted this, and I'm telling you, all right. But here's what you really need. And that ad that you're bringing in and shoving into my face isn't really what you want after I pointed that out to you.
Right.
And I get, a huffiness going out the door. Well, I guess I'll go someplace else.
And some of these prices are ridiculous. I'm looking at a big electronics store now. A Pentium 4 with an 80-gig hard drive for $159.
Yeah, what doesn't it have?
Right. What doesn't it have in it?
150-gig hard drive? They haven't made those?
An 80-gig hard drive for $159. So yeah. It's ages old.
A hard drive and getting a computer for free. But the reality is, I tell my friends this all the time. I say to them, look, here's the thing. You really aren't going to be happy with this. And I got, oh, you know what? You're just trying to steer me to your friend's shop so that they'll spend more money.
Yeah.
No, I just don't want you complaining at what you bought.
Yes.
If you're really only doing email and browsing the web and you don't care and you're not, by the way, when you're browsing the web, are you going to YouTube or any place like that? Because that's not going to be a satisfactory experience either.
Thank you.
So if all you're doing is browsing web pages in text with links and doing your email with Mutt, which is a text-based email program,
mm-hmm.
you'll be more than fine. You will really be more than fine. I have a computer that's running a 286, and it's got 16 meg of RAM, And that's all it does, and it runs a very small version of Linux. Yeah. I can browse the web using links, and I can read my email using Mutt, and that's all it does.
And that's all you expect
out of it, and it does that just fine. Thank you so very much. And if I really want to use that, I can. And I can take notes with Nano, and I used to carry, because it's a tiny little computer, I used to carry it around all the time to take notes. Now I have a tablet. But I used to carry that around with me, and people would say, you know, oh, that's great. Where can I get one? I said, no, look at what I'm using. There's no graphics anywhere on this thing. None, absolutely none. So people have to be aware of what it is they're getting. All right. That's it, kiddies. We're gonna put Uncle Dave back on the shelf. So put your empty mugs. Is this the end of the segment as well? Holy cow, we're done. Before we go, I would like to thank Paul, who also has become a member. Paul from Ithaca, who has become a member of the Jazz 90.1 family. We're very, very honored that you've done so. Thank you, Paul. You can join him, you know, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on the member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We do have a caller on the line, Ed from Henrietta. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi. If I get one of these laptops at a big box store, I don't know if I should or not, but I think they come or you can get added some basic stuff like an antivirus and spyware. My question is, what's the basic requirements that you should have on it for protection, and does that come all in like one kit, like Kaspersky or Norton? Do they sell everything in one, or do you have to buy separate ones?
You can certainly. Well, I don't know which store you're talking about, but if you're buying from a store somewhere, I'm sure they have deals, or they have at least the boxes of Kaspersky and Norton.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing to keep in mind is if you buy one with something pre-installed, oftentimes it's just a 30 or 60-day demo.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Not the full program.
And so after 30 or 60 days, you may or may not see a message that says you need to upgrade now. And if you ignore that message, you are not covered.
I think this is at Best Buy, and it's for 6 months.
At the end of that 6 months, you're done.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to our webpage, we have products that we recommend at thesecuritytango.com. You can go there, and we recommend 3 different products because no one does all, and you can get them for free.
Yeah. As long as you know it's a subscription with virtually every antivirus, commercial antivirus program these days are subscriptions, but typically it's a 1 year subscription.
And
but if you know that and you know you're going to have to upgrade that subscription, then it's not a bad idea.
And another thing, when you go to these stores, and this is going to become very popular again, and I'm going to get complaints, folks turn around and they see the Microsoft Office on there. And again, it's a trial version, 30 days, and it runs out.
Or the new one I've seen is Office Starter, which is like Word and maybe Excel. It's not
right,
the full Office suite.
It's not the full suite.
I was just going to ask you about that, the Microsoft Office. Yeah, it does. There's a little star at the bottom, and you read the fine print, and it says it's only 30 days.
Yeah. Yep.
So what does it mean when you run out? You have to buy it online then, or do you have to go to the store and get a...
Well, you would have to upgrade to a full version, or, of course, you can instead just simply never use it and instead use LibreOffice or OpenOffice,
yep,
which does all the same stuff and is absolutely free and will last you forever.
Where do you get that off the web?
Off the web, OpenOffice.org or LibreOffice, LIBRE. And we have links on our website as well. So
typically, because you're talking to a novice, how long does that take to download?
Internet? Not long.
Are you on broadband?
That's another thing I was going to ask you. I didn't know whether to get something. I go to the library because it's free Wi-Fi. You know?
Right.
And I don't know if that's sufficient to cover all bases for anything.
It is, as long as the library will continue to offer free Wi-Fi. Certainly, as a citizen of the United States, you're certainly allowed to use that. So it shouldn't take long, 10, 15 minutes at the most, depending on how many other people are on it. Yeah,
in,
right.
In your column, I noticed when you say when you dance the tango, that can take a long time.
Oh, yes. Depends on the speed of your computer, how much RAM you have, how big your hard drive is, and what you've got on it.
Because one of the things with Windows and even the Mac is that there are hundreds of thousands of files as part of the operating system. And so the software has to scan all of those files, too. Not just your files, but all the operating system files.
Right. And, in fact, those are even more important often enough because that's where the bad stuff often hides.
What did you have, then, when you talk about RAM, et cetera? What's the basic? Because I don't use mine for games or anything.
Well, you want a minimum of 2 gig these days, particularly since any new computer is going to come with Windows 7. 2 gig is an absolute minimum, and I mean a minimum. 4 gig is much better.
And then what else would you say?
Well, whatever size hard drive you want is important. But the reality is, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I want this machine to be faster, so they buy a faster processor. More RAM will make your machine faster than a new processor will. With a new processor, your stuff will run a little faster, but if you don't have enough RAM and it's continually swapping stuff out to the hard drive, that's really going to slow it down. So if you're a typical user and you're using multiple programs at once, they're big programs like some sort of Office suite and a web browser and stuff, having more RAM is actually better.
Well, they have dual cores at a pretty good price, so would they have a sufficient RAM already built in?
Not necessarily.
Nope.
Like I said, a minimum of 4 gig. If you're running 64-bit Windows, then you should really 8 gig is fine.
And if you're going to get a laptop, make sure it's got its own dedicated graphics, not shared graphics.
Well, shared graphics is cheaper, but dedicated graphics is faster. So if you're doing anything graphic-related, video, playing
web.
Videos, video games on the web, anything like that, dedicated graphics will be faster.
So really, the price that they put on these laptops, after you add Office, after you add blah, 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 you're talking, what, $200 or $300 more?
Easily.
Office, hello. Office can be $500.
$700, depending on which version you get.
Wow.
So the reality is that this is what Uncle Dave was talking about. You start out with a fairly inexpensive machine, but by the time you're said and done, you end up paying a whole lot more than you think.
Like what we were looking at during the last break, we found an IBM ThinkCenter for $99, and it was a 3.2 gigahertz processor. Well, that sounds like a lot. It had half a gig of RAM, shared video, and only a 40 gig processor.
Yeah,
so a hard drive.
Yeah, so it's going to be abysmally slow. Yeah, it's $99, but it's abysmally slow.
Right. Well, that's good information. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, our next caller is George, who's a member from Greece, New York. Welcome. Wait, George is coming. He's coming. I keep forgetting this is not as easy as just pushing a button. You have to actually do a whole bunch of stuff. All right, our next caller is George from Greece. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I was talking with you last week, about how to determine the amount of RAM that's being used at any given time.
Yeah.
And you gave me a pretty good explanation, which changed my whole perspective on how to do that. But more importantly, at the moment, it was suggested that I look at the task manager for Windows.
Yep.
I've been doing that. I find a neat little diagram that talks about the CPU usage.
Yep.
And let me say, to follow up on what the fellow was asking about in the previous call, what I observe is the CPU usage runs quite low compared to other things. It's most of the time it's in the 5 to 10% range. But there's
yeah, the computer spends most of its time waiting for you to do something.
Exactly. And I think that speaks to the fact that people tend to get carried away with horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, it may not even be the limiting factor. But I see something called PF usage, but I'm not aware with what that's measuring.
PF, page faults?
PF or PS?
And then it goes on the right-hand side, there's a timeline. Says page file usage history.
Oh, that's the page file. The page file is that area of the hard drive. When you don't have enough RAM, and this completely speaks to everything we've been talking about up till now, when you don't have enough RAM and you try to load more stuff in, like you're putting in a whole word processor and it wants to do spell checking and grammar checking and everything else at the same time, it then has to take parts of the programs that you haven't used in a while and swap them out to the hard drive so that there's room for the new stuff you're putting in. And then if you switch to something else, it has to swap that back out to put back the other thing that you weren't using and now you are. That's called the page file. The more page file you use, the slower your machine is running because the page file is on the hard drive, and the hard drive is a whole lot slower than RAM.
So are you telling me that the page file is kind of a complement to the RAM?
It is a complement to the RAM. It is essentially the storage space for what doesn't fit in RAM right now.
Okay. So the more RAM you have, the smaller your page file will be.
And the faster your machine will run because it's not paging stuff out as much.
Now, crazily, on my computer, I got 4 gigs of RAM, and it's saying my page file is 229 gigs.
Oh,
I only have a 160-gig hard drive. How can my page file be 200 gigs?
You're on your own for that. yeah, I have
so
what's
the answer there, Steve?
I don't know.
Right. You'll have your regular space. You'll have swap space. You'll have all that other stuff on any operating system. But the reality is that if you have enough RAM, you don't need to worry about most of that stuff. And
enough is getting to be more and more.
And enough is getting to be more and more. 8 gig is not terribly a lot anymore for people who do multiple things at once on their machines.
And that's virtually everybody. You got your web browser open, your email client open, a word processor open, and then, you know, maybe a couple other things running.
Right.
Well, I follow your advice, and I'm not going to argue about that other than for us, me as a small user, I don't have many things open at one time. So I'm just trying to get a feel.
Well, what do you have open?
Well, at the moment, I have just the Windows.
So your desktop is running, and there's if you look at that task manager, there'll be hundreds, at least dozens, if not hundreds, of processes running in the background waiting for you to do things.
That could be. I'm not sophisticated enough to understand that, but I notice now if I open up Word, typically it sits around 700 megabytes for page file usage, and if I open up something, that goes up slightly.
Yep.
Okay. But I wouldn't have more than Excel or Word open at any one time, probably.
Well, you know what? You put as much RAM as you want in it, but we're telling you more is better.
Well,
yeah, always. You know, I mean,
you know, it really
and
it really
memory
depends.
Is really really cheap. You know what's going up in price? Hard drives.
Hard drive. Yeah, there was that flood in Thailand.
Yeah.
The worldwide production of hard drives has crashed, and hard drive prices have doubled, and they're virtually impossible to get anymore.
Yep. So the 1 terabyte hard drives have literally just about doubled in price.
Mm-hmm.
That were, you know, under $100, forget it.
But that's for a special situation. I realize what has caused that. But
yeah.
With some of these older machines, sometimes it's not easy to get the RAM for them anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, the older RAM prices tend to go up as they stop making so much of it.
But listen, George, the reality is this. The more RAM you have, the faster your machine will run for any average user. And you know, have as much as you want, but if it's slow, know that that's a choice you made.
Well, and that's one other thing, though, we've always said, Nick, is, you know, people will compromise here and there. It's then you get into where do you want the bottleneck.
That's exactly right.
You know, if you go less on the memory, then it's going to throw more on the processor, you know, and it's just going to move the bottleneck around until you get the actual specs that you need to run it properly.
Yep.
Well, you guys have been very helpful. I think, though, the bottleneck in my situation is, has more to do with the connection to the network for the Internet.
That's
and
for
I
everybody,
see my
yeah.
my machine sitting there waiting, and that's what I have never been able to determine. Is whether that was really the slow spot.
Well, the reality is that most of the time that will be true because yep. you're waiting for the Internet. Right. You're waiting for the machine at the other side. If that's an underpowered machine or whatever,
traffic.
Or your network connection is not a super fast one, or there's a bunch of traffic on your particular, if you're on cable on your head end or whatever, then you're gonna find your system slower at different times of the day. Back in the day when I had cable, I owned the Internet at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But at 9 o'clock at night, it slowed down to a crawl.
Okay. But RAM wouldn't help in that case, though.
No, nope. That's entirely the Internet.
Yep. Okay. Well, you're helping me understand it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, George. The problem is there's no easy answer anymore. There's no more silver bullet. You know, the faster processor isn't always going to help you. I had a friend and I did a test. He had a faster, much faster processor than I did. This is in the back in the day when you had to have a separate floating point processor. And my machine was 5 times faster than his when doing floating point stuff, simply because of what we were doing. We've only got a minute, so we've got Bruce from Hilton on the line. We can take your question and then answer it after the break. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question about my 8-bit VT7 motherboard. It's an older motherboard from 05. My question is, will I be able to run a PCI Express video card instead of AGP?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Yeah, it's hardware built into the motherboard.
Right.
You've got AGP cards on it. You probably have PCI cards on it. But if they're not PCI Express, which is a completely separate hardware, then you can't run them.
Right. That would have to be actually a separate connector on the slot. Motherboard.
Slot on the motherboard.
Oh, a separate slot. So it's not the regular PCI Express slots, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's a PCI Express slot versus PCI. There's PCI and PCI Express.
And then there's PCI Express 2X.
Yes.
And some of the 2X cards will not work in a 1X slot.
Correct.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the regular PCI slot that you use for your cards won't run the PCI video card.
But, PCI Express 2.
Right.
I see what
a PCI
saying.
Slot will not work with a PCI Express card.
Is it possible to find a VGA card today that will work with Windows 7?
Probably.
Yeah.
You have to do a card that works with Windows 7?
Do a Google search.
Do a Google search, yes. Okay.
Yeah. You might find something on eBay or, you know, Tiger Direct might still have. They used to be great for older stuff and still having that might still, you know, and it'll say, well, it'll run under Windows 7. But you know what? Then you're going to run into driver issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What I'm running into now is I have a high-end video card in here with 512 DDR2 on it from Asus. But the thing is, it's only using standard VGA graphics right now.
Without the right driver, yeah.
Right. It won't accept the Catalyst download from Asus. It won't run it.
Yep.
Yep.
So.
Well, I'll tell you what. During the break, Microsoft has a Windows compatibility hardware list, and we'll put up a link to the video portion of that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, we're hoping you'll call in and become a member of member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm Steve. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we do have more people in line, but let me remind you, before we go there, that we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and you can become a member of the Soundbites and Jazz 90.1 families. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We have Paul from Pottstown, PA on the line. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hey, this is Carl.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah, that's
see,
okay.
See, I want to trust you guys.
It's not me this time.
It wasn't hooked at the top.
What? I said to you, is that Paul? You said yes.
No.
I'm loving this so much. After all these years. See, you don't give me any credit because when's the last time you had to talk to me about... I sit there and write them out nice and clear for you.
I know you're good. Thank you.
Just want
half of these are more like Tolkien runes than they are.
I just want acknowledgement where
some
acknowledgement
sort of elvish
is due.
Or something.
Thank you.
Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about Yahoo email.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has Yahoo.
I got
email
a friend
account,
deal.
And I've never had Yahoo myself, so I'm not quite sure how it
works.
But he said he has a couple of 100 messages saved. I don't know if they're saved on his local hard drive or on the Yahoo server. He just said he has a couple of 100 messages saved. And he'd like to somehow incorporate a search function so that he could search for anything in the entire group of emails, maybe put them all in one folder and then do a search. Is there any type of search engine he could use or something built into Yahoo or something he could download separately that would all enable him to search an entire group of emails like that?
If they're being saved on Yahoo's server, no.
If he's using Yahoo's website to get his mail...
Yep.
Then they are being stored on Yahoo's servers, and I'm logging into mine, but I could have sworn there was a search feature built in that you could search your mail.
I will take this moment while Steve is looking for that to say that I use Gmail, and the search function, as you would expect from Google, is unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. Steve is looking to see if there's a search function in Yahoo, but if there is not, then you're kind of out of luck because. They're the ones who have that email.
So what you would need to do is use an email program on the local computer, like Thunderbird or Windows Live Mail or one of the other mail programs, which would download the mail to the local computer, and then those programs would have a search feature in them.
Thunderbird has a decent search feature.
Oh, yeah, dummy right here at the top, the big search mail button.
And he meant dummy to himself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was talking to you, Paul. Yeah, right at the top of the Yahoo Mail window, there's a big search mail button where you can type in a search phrase.
There is one right at the top of the Yahoo Mail box.
Okay.
Now,
one
thing that I've seen happen recently in the last couple of weeks is that Yahoo updated their mail program, the new version of the web interface, and a lot of people don't like it because it's different. And it doesn't work well in older browsers, and we've had quite a few people asking, how do I get back to that classic Yahoo Mail, which is what they called it. For most people, you can't get back to classic because that's just the way it is now.
Yep.
That answer your question?
Just one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The search feature you were talking about, would that only search the titles or would it search the bodies of the emails as well?
I don't know.
Probably can go in and customize it.
Let's try it. Well, it just says search mail. No, it is searching the body. It searched the contents of the message as well as the subject of the message.
Okay, great.
All right, there you go.
Hey, thank you very much.
And then you can sub-search by sender. So it, in my case, it found several messages with my search phrase, and I can... limit that to what sender I want to search, what date range I want to search from.
Well, then it does a very good
does that pretty good searching then, yeah.
Nice, nice. Chris Reich was a friend of the show, Chris, over on the IRC chat was saying the same thing. It does all of that stuff. All right, who's our next caller? It's Charlie.
Hello?
Rochester, New York, or somewhere else. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Oh, Nick, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. On the program OpenOffice,
yeah,
I try to update it, right? It won't update. Keep saying, update failed. So I could never update it.
You could try downloading the whole version again instead of just the update.
didn't tell you. You mean uninstalled?
Yeah, use Revo. Revo uninstall to uninstall the program. Redownload a fresh version of it and have it do a complete install.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it might have been one of the, you know, glitches or some other program in there that's stopping it from you getting the rest of the, you know, the updates and all that type of stuff. So that's the cleanest and easiest way to do it.
Oh, thank you. One thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was I going to say? Every time I tried to send a document to someone, they could never open it.
How you send it? What are you sending it with? What program do you
use? If you're using OpenOffice and you send them an OpenOffice file, they also have to have OpenOffice.
Oh.
So if you don't know what they have, your best solution is to export it as a PDF.
Or an RTF.
Or as an RTF, which is a format that any word processor on any computer can read.
I thought that was the default RTF.
No, it's OTD, an open document for ODT.
I did rich text format, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Can't you change the default, though?
Send it out like that.
You have to make sure that it's still named .rtf. So, you know, so when you give it your file name, your document, it has to be .rtf so the other end knows how to open it.
You mean I can change the name of the document?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Right, and the type. When you go to save it, one of the choices, well, you can either just put the extension you want on it, or you can...
you can't just name it .rtf. You have to do save as and pick RTF as the format.
Right, and then one of the choices underneath where you put the file name is what format you want it to be in. And there's a whole list of them.
Oh, it's got to be saved. I was just changing the...
No. And that's what I'm saying. You can just change the name, but that doesn't do it. You have to actually save it in that particular format.
So in the program, there's a save as command, or is it save as or export? One of those.
Save as.
Do you right-click on it?
No.
No. When you go to the file menu, and instead of save, you can choose save as.
You have to be in the OpenOffice program with that document open.
Oh, I understand.
So then you're saving it as an RTF file named something .rtf, and then send that to the, and the other person will be able to read it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep.
All right, thanks.
We're kind of used to that in the Mac community because people are always saying, well, I couldn't read your Mac file. No, I sent you a Word file, and you need to have Word to open it.
Yeah, right.
So send it as an RTF, then any word processor can open it. It's a pretty good assumption that the person has Microsoft Word, but it's you shouldn't assume that completely.
Right. And we often find that that people will have something that will open an RTF document.
Yeah, virtually everything will open RTF. A lot of things
including
will open
WordPad.
Yep, a lot of things will open a DOC, which is usually Microsoft Word, but RTF is more common.
Right, and now with Word, you have to worry about whether it's
DOC
or
DOCX. DOCX, yeah. I ran into a weird one the other day too. I had a customer with Excel, and it keeps telling him the file is opened by somebody else, but that other person doesn't have it open, and it's an Excel file, XLSP.
XLSP
project?
I think it was a P, yes.
I don't know what that means.
It was a public workbook.
It's probable that somewhere there's a hidden file on the hard drive.
That's what I eventually found. Last person that used it, it didn't close properly, and it was still locked open, and so you have to delete that invisible file.
That's right. I'll tell you what, there's
How do you find invisible files in Windows 7 now? You used to go to the file menu and choose options. The view menu, choose options, and turn on invisibles. I couldn't find that the other day in Windows 7.
Yep.
It's hiding in there. I hate when they hide things.
All right, look, we're almost at the end of the show, but you know what? You've still got time. You can become a member of Jazz 90.1. I want to thank all those who did become members today. Daniel, Dolores, Dave, and Paul. I don't know how he snuck in there. It was D-Day for
maybe his middle initial is D.
Yeah, right, or D-Paul something, right?
Yeah.
Right. He goes by his middle name. We want to thank you all for calling in. It is so important to us to keep this station on the air. It is so important for us to be here every week to give you the kind of advice we do and to have as much fun as we all have together. We want to thank all those of you over the last few weeks who have, in their deep generosity, pledged to keep this station on the air and have voted with their dollars to keep sound bites on this station. And it's not too late to make that call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And it's never too late to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You can do that all week long. When you do, please remember to put into the comment field that it is for sound bites. That way people will know that you love this show, that you want to see this show stay on this station, and that you want to see this station stay on the air so that they can keep bringing you this show.
We don't want to be doing this next week.
Yeah, we really don't want to be doing this next week. You don't want us to be doing this next week, and the easy way to make that stop happening is to make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Even if you call with a $5 pledge, I tell you right now, if everybody listening called with a $5 pledge, we wouldn't have to do this again next week, and it's up to you. Again, I really want to thank Daniel, Dolores, Dave, and Paul. I want to thank everybody who called in last week, the week before. I want to thank all of you for your deep and continuing generosity to keep this show on the air. We're honored and delighted. Thank you all. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are happy and proud and honored to say that with your help, with your assistance, with your generosity, we continue to be on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And if you want to see that continue, call now, make the pledge. Do it online at jazz901.org. And if you do that, we will see you here next week. Thanks.
Here are the club